Well, good morning. We are super excited to be here. And if you will grab your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 3 and then say amen when you get there. Man, y'all are quick. I'm not used to putting the scripture in the bulletin because a lot of times I figure it out on Saturday night what I'm going to preach on Sunday. And when Nolan said you got to have it in by Thursday at 8, I was freaking out. But it's great that y'all are ahead of the curve. So Ephesians 3, chapter 2. Here we go. You have heard, of course, about the responsibility to distribute God's grace, which God gave to me for you, right? God showed me his secret plan in a revelation, as I mentioned briefly before. When you read this, you'll understand my insight into the secret about Christ. Earlier generations didn't know this hidden plan that God has now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets through the Spirit. This plan is that the Gentiles would be co-heirs and parts of the same body, and that they would share with the Jews in the promise of God in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I became a servant of the gospel because of the grace that God showed me through the exercise of his power. God gave his grace to me, the least of all God's people, to preach the good news about the immeasurable riches of Christ to the Gentiles. God sent me to reveal the secret plan that had been hidden since the beginning of time by God, who created everything. God's purpose is now to show the rulers and powers in the heavens the many different varieties of his wisdom through the church. This was consistent with the plan he had from the beginning of time that he accomplished through Christ Jesus our Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. I know I went a little longer than 8. Forgive me. I just changed my mind since Thursday. I was in a rush this morning at 8:30 service, because Sunday school started at 9:30, and I had to get through everything, and I rushed a lot. But y'all are the lucky ones, so I can talk as long as I want, right? I just wanted to give y'all a background of who I am and how I got here, and then we'll talk about the scripture. But John Simonson, I was born and raised in Texas. We moved to Mobile, Alabama when I was 15, because my dad was in the oil business and he got laid off, and he had two job offers, one in Seattle, Washington, and one in Mobile, Alabama. His parents were from Biola-Battery, Alabama, and so he chose Mobile. I went to high school at W.P. Davidson, and then I went to the only college there is, the University of Alabama, Roll Tide. I say that with great pride, but then I dropped out of college. And after 3 years of majoring in music therapy, I was in the marching band. I got paid to go to all of the football games. Greatest day, that was fantastic. But I dropped out and said, I'm going to go live at the beach, since I grew up in Texas. And got over here, thought I knew everything. I went and lived at the beach, dug ditches for a little bit, and met some friends at the police department who got me into the reserve program, and fell in love with police work. Knew it was a calling to get into police work. It happened after 3 years of on the reserve. I've been there 16 years now. I'm a sergeant in patrol. It is fantastic. As far as my spiritual life, I grew up in a Methodist church. I was baptized Presbyterian, but I grew up in Elmwood United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. Went to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday evening. I didn't have a choice in the matter. We went. Loved it, though, and was very active in Sunday school, very active in my youth, and it was great. When we moved to Mobile, we went to a little bitty church called Heritage United Methodist, and I was active in the youth there and the Sunday schools, and it was really good. I had adults telling me that I was going to be a pastor, and I would politely reply to them, have you taken your medicine? I was not going to be a pastor. That was not going to happen. I went to college, and I didn't have anybody at home saying, you're going to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. So I stopped. I said, I'm old enough. I'm going to take a break. And I did. And I just stopped going to church. And I really stopped reading my Bible, really stopped praying, just took a break. Then, after I dropped out and moved to the beach, I was 25 years old, and somebody handed me a gun and a badge and said, you're in charge. And I don't know that that's the best thing to do to a 25-year-old male. I was married at the time, but once I got a gun and a badge and a giant ego to go with it, I got divorced. I do have a daughter from my first marriage, Amy. She turned 18 yesterday. She will make an appearance maybe when she turns 30 or somewhere around there when she comes back to her right mind. I will try to get her here. And I'm going to be like, Paul's my favorite writer in the Bible. He's stubborn, he's blunt, and he just says it like it is. That's how I try to be, so I'm just going to be that way. 25 years old, gun and a badge, spent a lot of time in the bars doing things I shouldn't be doing, and God was not on my mind. I call that my running years. I spent a lot of time running from God. After the divorce, I had a really good friend at the police department. He had a house that we called either the house for wayward police or the dormitory because several officers kind of rotated through his house. They spent a couple months there after their divorce or whenever they were having trouble. And I ended up spending 4 years there with him. He is a great friend of mine. We are very close. But I spent 4 years with him and lived this crazy life without God. And thought I was doing great. Thought I really enjoyed it. Until one day I'm driving around in my truck and this song comes on and I couldn't even tell you what song it was. But it just struck me how empty I was, how alone I was. And first time in a long time, I cried out to God and said, God, this is not who you made me to be. This is not who I am supposed to be in this life. And I need help. And I was driving around in my truck crying, and I said, Lord, I need you to bring somebody into my life that will help me get back on track. I need somebody that will help me get back in church, that will help me reconnect with you. 2 weeks later, I went and got my eyes checked and met my wife, Jenny. She wasn't my wife at the time, but I met her, and we started talking, and we started dating a little bit, and I found out her dad was the Methodist preacher at Orange Beach United Methodist Church, and me, being the good Christian boy, knew I had to go to church to impress Daddy and Mama so that they would like me and would let me date their daughter. We ended up getting married a year and a half later. But that time in Orange Beach was a really influential time in my life. And I don't know if I've ever told Dick. Okay, I cry. And y'all just get over it because it's going to happen. And it's just how it is. But I don't know if I've ever told Dick how influential he was in my life and my turnaround to come back to God. And eventually, after he left the church, Jenny and I took over a Sunday school class that grew from 12 to 90. And we were like, what is going on? And I again heard people say, you need to become a preacher. And I said, no, you are crazy. Take your medicine. And so we just went on our daily routine. And I was at work one day, and I was driving around in a police car in full uniform. And I started hurting in my gut and physically and emotionally and spiritually hurting, and I started crying, and I don't mean just a tear or two. I mean, you know, the snot bubbling, the just, you can't stop it, you can't control it. I had the darkest sunglasses on, and I was so worried that people in town were going to see me and start calling the chief saying, there's this crazy police officer crying, driving around town, and I think he's going to do something. And I didn't know what to do, so I chased down my pastor at the time, which was Alan McBride, and I told him what was going on, and he said, I think you have sound like Jeremiah, and you need to say something. So I took off the rest of the week. I went home. I spent an entire week while Jenny was at work and the boys were at school. No TV. I was fasting, and I was just studying the Word, and there came this moment where God hit me and took me to my knees, and he spoke to me, and he said, you're going to be a pastor. And I said, I was very reverent and said, away from me, flee. No, you're wrong, you're crazy, God, this ain't going to happen. And he said, no, you're going to be a pastor. And I said, no, it will not happen, I will not let it happen, you're making the biggest mistake you could make, and I'm not going to. And he said, I'm about to hammer out the impurities in my church and turn my people's hearts back to me, and you're going to be a pastor. And I said, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. Just can't do it. It went on for a little bit, and he showed me this image of a guy standing over one of the people that does metal, blacksmith, and he was hammering this sword, sharpening it. And I finally said, Lord, all I can promise you is that if you open a door, I can step through it. But this pastor thing is wrong, and you're making a mistake. But if you open a door, I'll step through it. And in the Methodist Church, there's a process to get into it. And I went and talked to the pastor. That's the first step. And he said, yeah, I think you should. And he introduced me to somebody else, and God opened a door, and I stepped through it. And less than a year later, I got a phone call that said, hey, this is Tanya Elmore over in Mobile County. I'm district superintendent. You're going to be the pastor at Zorlot Road United Methodist Church. And I said, great. Who am I going to be working with? And she said, no. You're the pastor. And I showed up on my very first Sunday and didn't know anything. I had never preached a sermon and was just scared out of my mind. And then the finance guy came walking up, and he said, hey, I just want to let you know we're not going to be able to pay the bills this month. And I said, hey, I just want to let you know I don't even know if I'm going to be able to preach a sermon today, so let's get through today, and we'll talk about it next week. And that was 5 years ago, and it has been the most amazing 5 years of my life, and me and my wife have loved every minute of it. We made some fantastic new family over there, and I went to Halloween over at Nolan's house one day with the family. We were going to do trick-or-treating. And somehow, somebody said something about being an associate pastor here. And it was like, yeah, that would be fun. Ha ha. Yeah. And then a few months later, I had to write a paper for the DS about how is it with your soul. And I wrote this paper and read it and was like, man, this is awful. It sounds horrible, because I was just tired of going back and forth to Mobile. And then a few months later, all I know is that I'm getting a call saying, you're going to be the associate pastor at Foley. And when all that happened, Jenny and I, we had a little reservation, but all I could see was this door opening and God saying, it's time for you to step through again. And so that's what we have done, is step through this door that God has opened that has brought us here. Now, that's a little bit about me, and we'll talk about that a little bit more, but we can't have a sermon without getting to the scripture. And I'm sorry I'm rambling, but like I said, y'all are the lucky ones. There are two things I want to point out in this sermon, passage here. Two things. One of the things I love about Paul, because it resonates with me so much, is verse number 8. God gave his grace to me, the least of all God's people. Now, I am standing here before you as a pastor, but I am telling you right now, I am the least of all God's people. I am nothing. I am nobody special. I am just a follower of God that was willing to step through an open door. And in the past 5 years, I have heard many excuses from people that say, you know what? I'm just too old to do that. It's somebody else's turn. And I had to figure out in 5 years how to say to those people in the nice Christian way, most politically correct way, that you're not dead yet. so you're not done. And your work, you haven't retired yet. When you retire, God will call you home. Until you retire, you're still working. And then I've heard the excuses about, well, my kids are so busy and we have these sports and we have all this kind of stuff. And you know, again, I had to try to find the Christian way to say, who's first in your life? Who do you answer to ultimately? And then, you know, there's a multitude of questions. I don't have money. I don't know how to do it. I don't have the expertise. I just don't have the knowledge, or I'm afraid to talk to people, or I can't stand up in front of a group, or I can't share my feelings with somebody else because I'll be embarrassed. And I get that, and I understand that, because that's the same way I am, but I'm still standing here because God uses the least of all his people. Because there is no excuse to say I'm not good enough or I'm not worthy enough, because that's exactly the people God wants to use, and that's you, and that's me, and that's all of us. There is no valid way to tell God I can't be used by you, because Paul himself, the persecutor of Christians, the king of persecutors, the ones that chased him down and killed him, was chosen because he was the least. And he went on to do the greatest, because that's how God works. He uses the least to do the greatest, and that's how he uses all of us. And the other part of this scripture that I love so much is that the entire Bible, we try to figure out, and there's people that go to school and get their doctorates and stuff like that, so that they can tell you how to read the Bible and what it really means. But I don't get all that, because right here in verse 3, God showed me his secret. Paul tells us what the Bible means. God showed me his secret plan in a revelation, as I mentioned briefly before. When you read this, you'll understand my insight into the secret plan about Christ. Earlier generations didn't know this hidden plan that God has now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets through the Spirit. Here we go. Verse 6, the secret of the Bible. This plan is that the Gentiles would be co-heirs and parts of the same body, and that they would have a share with the Jews in the promises of God in Christ Jesus through the gospel. That's the Bible. That's the secret. And you know what it says? It says the least of all the people in the entire world, not just the chosen Jews, but everyone. Everyone is co-heirs and has a claim to the body of Christ, has a claim to be a part of the family of God. And what does that mean for us, the least of God's workers, the least of God's peoples? It means that it's our job to invite others into the same family we're in and to join in our struggles as the least of all God's people, to become the greatest members, or members of the greatest body and family that has ever been created, the family of Christ. Amen? So I'm looking forward to hearing a bunch of excuses. I'm looking forward to hearing how we don't know how to do this or don't know how to do that, because I'm going to tell you right off the bat that I don't either. But you know what? God's going to open some doors, we're going to step through them, and we're going to allow God to make things happen that we don't quite understand how they work or how they end up that way. And we're going to be the least of God's people in Foley and allow him to do the greatest of his work through all of us. Amen? All right. Let's pray. After we pray, I'm supposed to say this, after I finish praying, we're going to take a second to just let God's Spirit speak to you. Let us just open your heart, just open your mind, and just say, you know what, God? You may have been calling me, you may have been reaching out to me, and I have been may have been putting you off. But you open a door, so I'm willing to listen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for today. We thank you for this opportunity to gather in your house and to be your body. We come in here to worship, But Lord, sometimes we tell ourselves, sometimes we tell you that that's all we can do, that we're not the right fit or the right person for a job or for a task or for a calling. Lord, help us to hear you when you call us. Help us to see the doors in our lives that you've been opening. Help us to muster the courage to just take that first step and trust that you know what you're doing. In Jesus' name.